Welcome, willkommen, buongiorno. We're back.
Bonjour.
With the Renaissance Ray, episode 135.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's do a show where we talk about how smart Leonardo is, and maybe some groundbreaking shit that he did. You know, break it up a little bit. Do something different. What do you think?
Just for something different. Yeah, yeah.
Shits and giggles. Yeah.
I want to start by going back, Ray, to episode 62 that we did in August of 2019. Donald Trump, the Messiah, was still president of the United States.
Right.
Things were going really well.
Heady days.
It was 8 months before COVID, back in those days when, you know.
Sweet stuff. Yeah.
It was about a year after we'd last been to Europe. We'd been to Florence, but we hadn't been, we weren't doing the show. Were we doing the show? No, I don't think we were doing the show when we went to Florence. I don't know how that can't be right. How did we get 62 episodes in August 2019? That's not right.
We had been doing some.
Have we?
I think so, because we were like, oh, if we could go back now.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something.
Was that you?
Anyway. Back then we talked about Leon Battista Alberti and his groundbreaking book on painting. I think he wrote that from memory in the early 1400s, I think. Could have been the late 1300s, early 1400s, but it was revolutionary for that period. He was the first guy to try and encapsulate all the finer points of the craft of painting in the Renaissance period. He lived 1404 to 1472, so sort of in the mid-14th century that book probably came out.
Yeah.
Contributions, publications, here we go. Thank you, Wikipedia. De Pictura.
This is painful.
For 1452. There you go. No, that was on The Art of Building. I don't know. It was about then. Anyway, who cares?
About then.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. But in that book, the point here is that he said that before you could paint a person's clothing, you had to paint them naked.
Right.
In a similar way, where I've always said, before you do a podcast with someone, you need to see them naked. All of our guests, our guests are often shocked by that stipulation before they come on. I say, listen, you know, Stephen Dando Collins, you come on, gonna need to see you.
He did.
Wearing the hat.
So
he had the hat on and everyone.
He was completely nude except for a tie and a hat and a smile. But we literally said, look, we need a nude. And he looked down at his keyboard and went, sent.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, what? Who besides
dropped his,
me?
Dropped his trousers.
Cash.
And,
anyway.
And I said, well, no, not a dick pic. Just an artistic.
Thank you. We need some lighting. If you could have a plant behind
Battisti,
you or in front of you,
Battisti,
whatever.
Alberti. Yeah. We're off to a great start today. Alberti also said, before you can paint them naked, you had to paint their bones. And unfortunately, whenever I say to guests, before you can podcast with this, I need to see your bones.
Right.
They tend to run. You know, I'm like, oh, why? It's just, this is just protocol. I don't know why it scares people. Yeah.
Yeah. Standard contract. I don't know why. Now, if you'd said a no bones day versus a bones day, they'd have to be a TikTok fan to understand that. But this guy's basically saying, and this is what gets me, this is the only thing that separates someone like myself from someone like Leonardo. It's the only thing I can think of. If you can think of anything else, let me know. But I would just paint really, really well the person, the woman, the man, the goat, whatever, wait for it, with their clothes on or the fur on, I would just paint it, and I'd paint it really well. And I'd be, you know, I'm done. It took me 7 minutes. These guys are going, no, no, no. You've got to picture the skin under the clothing. And then you've got to picture the muscles under the skin. And then you've got to picture the bones. I'm like, no, actually, you don't.
Well,
you
just got to paint it really, really well. The problem is these guys weren't good enough.
I'm done.
That's the problem. They weren't as good as you. Yeah, yeah. See, you don't have to do that. Yeah.
I've run into that a lot.
They were amateurs. Right. Amateurs. I don't know.
I was a polymath.
Alberti wrote, isolate each bone of the animal. On this, add its muscles. Then clothe all of it with its flesh. Before dressing a man, we first draw him nude. Then we enfold him in draperies. So in painting the nude, we place first his bones and muscles, which we then cover with flesh, so that it is not difficult to understand where each muscle is beneath.
Follow-up question. If I paint for you, and you're standing there looking badass as usual, and I paint your skeleton, and then I paint your muscles, and then I paint skin and then clothes, does that mean I get to charge you four times as much because I used four times the paint and it took four times? This is a business question.
Well, this was sort of the problem for Leonardo, because this book, Alberti's book, was Leonardo's Bible.
That's true.
Being Leonardo, by the time he painted the bones and painted the flesh, he got bored. Yeah. He was like, I'm done. Yeah.
Next. Where's the dragonflies? I'm going to go fucking stare at the dragonflies. No, but you're right. He probably had to do it at first to not have to do it later. But it still looks like he did that kind of quality. I can see for him it'd be like a short learning curve.
Well, speaking of Leonardo, of course, in the news this week, I posted this on our Facebook group. The most recent painting discovered, believed to be by Leonardo, the Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World, has been judged now by Prada, I think, the museum in Spain, a museum in Spain, to be a fake. Or not actually by Leonardo, maybe by his studio, maybe by students of his, maybe a copy of his. But they've determined that it's not legit. Now, unfortunately, our axe-wielding murderer who's running Saudi Arabia, I believe, paid $450 million for it a few years back.
That's like and an hour's worth of
US
work.
Dollars too, not these fake Australian dollars, but US dollars.
And, could I act? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think he's looking for the receipt. The last I heard, he wanted to get his money back. He was looking for the receipt, but you know what it's like with receipts.
Yeah,
like $450 million here, $450 million there. Like you don't.
Starts to add up.
Yeah, well, you just throw them all in a box. And he's probably got, and he went to his box of receipts, and there's so many things that say $450 million on it that very hard to figure out which one is for this. But good luck to MBS. Yeah. Hope he figures that out.
I wish him well. What you don't know, or what you're not thinking through, and that's fine, is that he is sending that same crew that went to the embassy. Trust me, they're going to find it.
Yeah.
It might have some blood stains on it, but...
Yeah,
they'll find it.
Yeah, he'll get his money back to the guy who sold him that, ran the auction, or was the seller behind the auction.
You are so screwed right now. Stay away from it.
Yeah. Stay away from Saudi embassies. Is my
stay
tip.
Stay away from me. But no. I actually read an article about how they could determine whether it was a fake, you know, painting or not, and the appraiser who listens to this podcast. I hasn't actually been to school yet or read books, but he's got us. So he looks at it and he goes, I see that it's a finished painting. Yeah. Leo didn't do this. He didn't do this. Yeah. Fuck. No, it's not him. Next.
It's a tip off, right? Yeah. The first tip is that it was actually finished. Probably not Leonardo's work.
You're wasting my time here. Clearly this wasn't Leo. I'm done.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Leonardo and the Bible. So. Yes.
Please.
He took Alberti's. I keep going to call him Battisti. He took Alberti's instructions about bones, then flesh, then clothing, more seriously than any other painter of his era.
Yes.
And in his notebooks, he preached the same thing. Leonardo wrote, "It is necessary for a painter to be a good anatomist so that he may be able to design the naked parts of the human frame and know the anatomy of the sinews, nerves, bones, and muscles."
Wow.
But he took it even further than the bones, Ray.
Yeah. Well, first of all, that piece of advice would be like as far as we would go. For Leo, that's just a stepping stone. So not only does he want to understand the body better, which will help with his art in its many different forms, but this is Leonardo we are talking about. He wants, and it's like the birds thing. He's going to study it for its own sake, but then take it to a whole different level. Pretty soon he's asking, how could psychological emotions lead to physical motions? Did I say that right? How does psychological emotions lead to physical motions? So he literally goes from, I need to study the body so I can paint better, to literally, how does the human body work in all of its complexity? If I could figure that out, I know, I'll start a notebook. I'll have it wrapped up in a couple weeks. I mean, this guy's curiosity is incredible.
Well, it's either his curiosity or the lengths that he will go to avoid actually painting something. He was like, listen, I...
yeah, I could. I could not
do all that. I've got the bones bit down, right, but right. Is that really enough? Like, I really think I need to understand how the nervous system works before I can paint this, and the optical system. Because really...
Yes.
If you just want someone to throw paint on a fucking canvas...
I can. Like,
There's a bunch of guys out there you could hire, but you came to the best.
That's right.
And I'm not going to give you anything that's less than the best. That's how I do. That's on my business card. You want the best, you got the best. Kiss.
something less.
That's when I'm... You wanted the best! You got the best!
And be prepared to pay. But you're right. I mean... For Leonardo, if you were to say to him, you literally want to study all these things to be a better painter, he would probably go, well, yeah, that's what you do, right? And you'd be like, no, nobody else is doing to the degree that you're doing. You're fucking insane. But for him, it was probably the only way he could proceed and the only way he could learn.
Like a good history podcaster, he knows that before you can do B, you've got to go back to A. And before you can do A, you've got to go back to... Z, and then goes all the way around because things build. Things build on other things, right?
Yeah.
Same way. Now, Florentines had taken Alberti seriously before Leonardo, of course. I don't want to suggest that he was the first person. Everyone was all painters and artists probably were reading Alberti and taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. Around 1470, when Leonardo was still a young man working in Verrocchio's studio, another Florentine who we've mentioned, Antonio del Pollaiuolo, we talked about him back in episode 73, December 2019.
Wow.
He made a copper plate engraving of a battle scene of nude men that you were splooging over.
Admiring. Go ahead.
Yeah. Physically. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on.
And scene.
The name of Pollaiuolo's picture, I believe, was...
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
Come.
Come.
I feel dirty and not in a good way.
That has got to be the longest entitled painting, engraving that in the history.
I know, right? Yeah. In that picture, which we talked about in episode 73, he depicted their muscles in high detail. Oh. Very sexy stuff. Lots of cocks.
Yeah.
Cocks
and swords,
cock.
Baby.
Yeah.
Cocks and swords. That's all you need.
lots of muscles, lots of cocks, lots of violence. Yes. And it's really, I mean, as a copperplate engraving, stunning. Vasari wrote that Poliwhirlo dissected many bodies to study their anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonardo may have been there, according to scholars like Walter Isaacson. They think he may have been there, seen Poliwhirlo do the dissections, maybe tagged along, and then wanted to go further. He goes, well, I get to look at lots of naked cocks and call it research, claim it back on my tax. What?
That's a good start. But No, so as you can imagine, whether it was him or whether it was someone else, that was the standard in Florence at the time. So at some point, somebody is showing Leo about dissections, even if it's on a very superficial level, just to cut the skin open and see the muscles immediately underneath. But knowing Leo, it's probably not going to stop there. But this is something somebody would have showed him. And at some point, he would have developed a relationship with the hospital in Florence, the Santa Maria Nuova. However you say it, Nuova. Thank you. And because obviously, besides here in Nelson, that's where you keep the bodies. So he wouldn't have to go to some place where it was, I guess, acceptable to the state and to the church for him to cut on these bodies like that.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been morally tricky, I think, for the Catholics to be chopping up dead bodies. And then when he moved to Milan, he found that the medical scholars there were more interested than the artists in Milan in studying human anatomy. We know that Milan was much more of an intellectual city when he got there, less of an artistic city. Slicing up corpses for fun was what the medical scholars were doing. The center of research in Milan was the University of Pavia. And this was turned out to be a good thing because Leonardo now has experts, medical experts, doctors.
Dexter.
Who could teach him about Dexter, somebody told me the new Dexter series is actually worth a watch. I gave up on the old series after, you know, it just got really, really silly. But somebody on Facebook was telling me the new series has just come out is pretty good.
I will try it, but like sex, it will be very apprehensively. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Might only last a minute, and you'd be like, no, I'm out. I'm done. Yeah.
No, it's I'm done. I'm out. Anyway, please continue.
He had medical experts teaching him about human anatomy, lending him books, teaching him dissection.
Right.
And eventually, Leonardo being Leonardo, the greatest time waster of all in all history, you know, this went from being, dissecting bodies went from being an artistic exercise endeavor to a genuinely scientific endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
For Leonardo, of course, art and science, like for us with our podcasts, art and science and dick jokes, very, very interwoven.
Interwoven. You can't really do one. Exactly.
Leonardo was the same, loved a dick and its dick jokes. And, So I wrote my notes. For him, art and science were as interwoven as humiliation and sex are for you, Ray. It's just
bang on.
Yeah, you can't bullseye. You can't really conceive of one without the other, right?
And I wrote in my book that I knew you'd say something like, for us, it would be, you know, everything's interwoven for us like it is for him. So for us, you can't tell where the dick stops and the joke starts. So again, a very similar world to what we live in.
When he sat down in Milan after he'd been there about 7 years with a clean notebook and made a list of topics that he wished to investigate, he wrote the date up the top, which was a big deal for him.
Yes.
He wrote on the 2nd of April, 1489.
Right.
Which was unusual for him and an indication that it must have been something he took really seriously, that he was dating it.
Right.
On the left-hand side of the page, he drew two views of a human skull with veins, which we'll get into a little bit later. On the right-hand side of the page, he wrote a list of topics that he wanted to explore. This is the list. What nerve is the cause of the eye's movement and makes the movement of one eye move the other?
Deep.
Of closing the eyelid, of raising the eyebrows, of parting the lips with teeth clenched, By the way, I want you to do all of these as I read them out.
Close on or close off? Too late now. Go ahead. Go.
Closing an eyelid.
Uh-huh. That's a wink.
Uh-huh. Raising the eyebrows.
It's all sexual. It's all fucking sexual.
You'd like to think. It's of parting the lips with teeth clenched.
Is that hot? I don't know.
Bringing the lips to a point.
Oh, you're gonna hold on. This is called the smolder. Most people can't handle that full force. I'm sorry that I turned it on to you like that. I've killed Cam with my smolder.
Holy shit. Where's my water bottle? He's taking my water bottle.
Oh.
Sorry. Of laughing. Of expressing wonder.
Is that overacting? Is that too much? Anyway.
Set yourself to describe the beginning of man when he is created in the womb and why an infant of 8 months does not live.
Damn.
Then he goes on, he wants to know what sneezing is, what yawning is.
Right.
Epilepsy, mm-hmm. Spasm, paralysis, fatigue, hunger, sleep, thirst, sensuality, of the nerve that causes the movement of the thigh, and from the knee to the foot and from the ankle to the toes.
Damn. So basically, man the animal. He wants to know everything about man or woman the animal. How does it function? How does it move? How does it work? What makes it tick? Did he leave art behind a long time ago in making this list?
Yeah, we can see how some of these, like how eyelids or eyebrows work, how we express wonder, could be relevant to painting or drawing. But what about, you know, why an infant of 8 months does not live?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got nothing to do with art. The cause of sneezing, the cause of fatigue. I mean, these things obviously have nothing to do with painting or sculpture or engineering or architecture. This is just pure scientific inquiry. He's just curious.
He's on a roll. Writing.
No one knows. No one can answer these things. Obviously, even in Milan, this intellectual center with these doctors and these scientists, no one's able to answer these things. So he's like, well, fuck it. If it is to be, it's up to me. I'm the guy. I'm obviously the smartest guy in the room, if not the city, if not the world. Right. I'm going to have to figure this shit out.
Oh, could you remind me how much he's getting paid by the Duke to research all this? I can't remember.
Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, nothing. But see, the thing is, if you're Leonardo, you know, the Duke is paying you to, I don't know, design weapons. So that's from 8 a.m. to 8:15 a.m., he designs a new weapon.
Oh, like I podcast.
And then he's got the rest of the day free to, you know, draw dicks.
Right. Dick drawing. Yeah.
He outlined a treatise on anatomy that he planned on producing. He wrote, this work should begin with the conception of man and describe the nature of the womb and how the fetus lives in it, up to what stage it resides there and in what way it quickens into life and gets food. Ooh. Also its growth and what interval there is between one stage of growth and another, what forces it out of the body from the mother, and for what reasons it sometimes comes out of the mother's womb before the due time. Then I will describe which parts grow more than the others after the baby is born, mm-hmm. and determine the proportions of a child of 1 year. Then describe the fully grown man and woman with their proportions and the nature of their complexions, color, and physiognomy.
Right.
Physiognomy. I never know how to say that word.
I don't know. Now, yeah. I'm not unlike Leonardo. It's like I've watched myself in the mirror and I've taken notes. I know that the ears and the nose grow forever and up until the point where you die, where sadly the penis stops after the first 6 months. Mm. I'm not sure why. But anyway,
the testicles
keep going.
Droop, hang in the man boobs.
So again, just the wonder of the human body. I'm done.
He goes on, then how they are composed of veins, tendons, muscles, and bones, then in four drawings represent the four universal conditions of men. That is, mirth, with various acts of laughter and describe the cause of laughter,
right.
Weeping in various aspects with its causes,
mm-hmm.
Fighting with the various acts of killing, flight, fear, ferocity, boldness, murder, and everything pertaining to such cases.
Damn.
Then represent labor with pulling, thrusting, carrying, stopping, supporting, and such like things. Then perspective concerning the functions and effects of the eye and of hearing. Here I will speak of music and describe the other senses. Then he goes on to describe how tissue, veins, muscles, and nerves should be shown from a variety of angles. He writes, every part will be drawn using all means of demonstrations from three different points of view. For when you've seen a limb from the front with any muscles, sinews, or veins which take their rise from the opposite side,
mm-hmm.
The same limb will be shown to you in a side view or from behind exactly as if you had that same limb in your hand and were turning it from side to side until you had acquired a full comprehension of all you wish to know. So basically,
right.
He's describing anatomical art, which is still used today. He's
right.
He's inventing three-dimensional
yes.
anatomical
yes.
art.
And multi-view research of body parts and all the stuff. I did want to ask a question. The four universal conditions of man. I looked that up. I couldn't find anything specific. I was wondering if you found anything or if you searched, because I couldn't determine why these four were the four universal and maybe not other emotions or other words, but I don't want to make too much of it if it was just something that was accepted by him at the time that he was alive.
Where's horniness?
Yeah, thank you.
I'd say horniness has to be in there, right?
First three. But, with my six.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
I mean, at least 8 hours of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking about, you know, how I can get laid.
Yeah.
That's a third of my life.
You're not wrong. I walked by a donut the other day, and the second thing I thought was, I bet that tastes good. So, you know, sorry.
Maybe it's just us. Maybe we're. It's just us.
I think
we're
you're on something.
Two that are obsessed with sex. Yeah.
Kimo Sami.
Yeah. Leonardo, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
His earliest, as I said before, his earliest anatomical studies start in 1489 mm-hmm. after he's been in Milan for quite some time.
7 years.
And these are the human skulls that
right.
he drew that I mentioned. He shows a skull that's been sawn in half from top to bottom.
Ugh.
He also shows it from the front view with the front of the left half of the skull sawn off, and according to Francis Wells, who's a surgeon and an expert on anatomical drawings, particularly of Leonardo's,
right.
he wrote, the originality of the skull drawings of 1489 is so fundamentally different and superior to all other extant illustrations of the time
mm-hmm.
that they are completely out of character with the age. Wells wrote a great book called The Heart of Leonardo, which focuses on the studies, Leonardo's studies of the human heart. It's got a preface by Prince Charles because the royal family owns like 500 heart drawings by Leonardo.
Right.
Unfortunately, in the preface by Prince Charles, all he talks about is how he wanted to be Camilla's tampon. So he got a little bit off track.
Right.
I don't think anyone had the balls to edit and go, really, Charlie, really?
That's very nice.
Can you talk about
however,
anything
yeah,
else?
Yeah. Could we? Yeah.
It's actually a great book. It has a lot of, I don't know if you've seen it, but it has a lot of Leo's heart drawings side by side with actual photos of a heart, so you can see how perfectly he depicted it.
Right.
In the heart book, Francis Wells writes, the first academic commentary on Leonardo's anatomical manuscripts was that of the eminent 18th century anatomist William Hunter. His comments on the newly discovered manuscripts are the first of the new world of science. The manuscripts and drawings were found in the possession of King George III, whose royal librarian, Richard Dalton, rediscovered them and showed them to Hunter.
Mm.
Hunter was deeply impressed. In his foundation lectures on anatomy, Hunter wrote, Leonardo must have been the foremost anatomist of his time.
Yeah,
a couple of things there. They were basically buried in King George III's treasure trove of stolen shit.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Imagine that. Like, yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, a book of Leonardo's
turned up.
Drawings of the heart
yeah.
that we forgot yeah. existed. But of course he was the foremost anatomist of his time because A, he was a fucking show-off, and B, he would do anything except finish a fucking painting. Right. Like, anything.
I will
literally
cut dead
anything.
Bodies all day long. Just don't make me finish.
Yeah.
That but I did want to ask
no you, one hated yeah. painting more than Leonardo da Vinci really he just
so,
hated it
the irony of that statement yeah. but it's true. I did want to ask, did Francis Wells have any comment about whenever Leo would cut into a body, why was there plastic all over the place and pictures of certain people from the village up on the wall, and why did Leo give this weird satisfied moan when the knife first went in the chest, like
And why were they not dead when he started cutting them
good
up?
Point.
Talked about his dark passenger who was always with
now,
him.
Now, if you can find the notebooks that Leo wrote about his dark passenger, you will be a multimillionaire. Fucking straight at straight right now. We should forge
back,
yeah.
Back to the skull drawings.
Please.
Have you, speaking of forgeries, have you seen that documentary about the Mormon guy who was forging everything in the 70s and 80s?
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it.
Oh, it's great documentary
right.
series, man. Like, this guy forged, he started off forging all of these Mormon documents, like Joseph Smith stuff, and selling them back to the church.
Nice.
Because they were usually really embarrassing stuff that would have embarrassed the church if they'd gone public.
Right.
And the church believed that they were real, so they would buy them off him.
And they had the money.
To stop them going public.
Yeah.
But then he started forging everything, letters from Abraham Lincoln and, you know, you name it.
Oh, my God.
We just forged hundreds and hundreds of documents. And, you know, the leading experts and the FBI even, and people would authenticate these things as being legit and
right.
real. He was just doing them in his kitchen, on his kitchen table.
Tuesday evening.
And then he ended up, he was starting to get found out, and so he started blowing people up, car bombs and letter bombs and stuff,
God.
To try and distract them from, anyway, he went to jail. Still in jail.
Wow.
It's great, great story, great documentary. Back to the skull drawings
yes.
that Leonardo did.
Yes.
He also, beside these skulls, drew the four types of human teeth.
Sure.
Becoming the first person in history to describe the complete set of human dental elements as far as we know.
Right.
Maybe the Greeks and the Romans did, but it hasn't survived.
Yeah.
And he did an almost perfect depiction of the roots of the teeth. Now, how the fuck did he know what the roots of the teeth looked like?
Right. I'm guessing, and this is a multi-staged guess, one, you cut along the gum. Two, I guess, and I don't know, I'm not an expert, you wait for the blood to drain out. Three, don't faint. Four, start drawing. I would have stopped on three, but I don't know. I guess you literally got to get in there and fillet the skin off of the gum. Does that sound right? So you can see underneath?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't fucking know, man, but it's I cannot imagine how you do that.
No.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm out. Ooh. Trivia time. Sophie just went to the dentist, and proving that she's an alien, she actually has six wisdom teeth.
She has six?
Six. What did you say? I said six.
I thought you said she had six at the dentist's office.
No, that was me, so I don't have to pay for it. For some reason, he's still charging me. No, but she had six. She has currently in her mouth six wisdom teeth, so it's a sign of the devil or something. I don't know. If you want to weigh in on that, but I'm ready to tie her up and burn her for the good of everybody.
Yeah. So Leonardo invented dentistry.
Yes. Why not?
And Sophie's a freak. Is
yes.
what you were telling me.
Yeah. I suspected for some time on both of those accounts. But
are
now,
any of them like pointy? Like seriously, like vampire pointy?
I guess we'll know when they come out, but I'm betting, yeah, I think so. A daughter of the night, you know what I'm saying. What we do in the shadows, whatever that show is, I don't know.
Have you watched that show yet?
A little bit. I love the actors, so I give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Of course, this being Leonardo, the drawings of the skulls are beautiful and detailed. Yes. And, you know, three-dimensional, the shading in them. They look 3D. It's insane. But, of course, this is the you know 15th century,
mm-hmm.
and they're not perfect. Like others at the time, he thought that something called the senso comune existed, common sense inside the head.
Never heard of it.
Well, this is an idea that goes back to Alexander the Great's tutor, Aristotle, who was building on top of Plato's ideas, his teacher.
Right.
About how humans and animals, they were trying to work out, the Greeks, and so we're talking, you know, 4th century BCE here, they're trying to work out how humans and animals could take in sensory data and turn it into ideas and thoughts,
mm-hmm.
something that, you know, we're still trying to understand today, 2,500 years later.
Yes.
Neuroscience is still trying to work that out in more detail. But the ancient Greeks, and this flowed right through to Leonardo's time, basically figured that the soul was in there somewhere.
Right.
And so something happened where the sensory data came in, the soul turned it into thoughts and ideas and emotions, and they thought that the soul resided in the heart, not in the brain, right. which is why people still today mm-hmm. will say, go with your heart. What does your heart tell you?
Exactly.
Follow your heart. All that kind of crap. And every time people say that to me, I go, you know your heart just fucking pumps blood around your body, yeah, right? And they go, oh, no, I can feel it in my... Okay, no, you really can't. You're an idiot. Shut the fuck up.
So if we could branch off into a Three Illusions portion of the show, so...
Mm.
And I'm just asking because I've always found this curious. So based on what you just said, so how would you define... Or would you define the expression go with your gut or go with your, what does your gut tell you or whatever? Is that more just another way of saying take all of the accumulated experiences you've had in your life that you can remember and everything that you've taught, put it all together and make a decision based on that versus some mythical, something greater than ourselves helping us with this decision? Does that make sense? Because I...
No. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Three Illusions, though, I think. But I think there are, you know, the body is, the nervous system is obviously connected mm-hmm. to itself, to all of the limbs.
Sure.
And we do get, like, there are, you know, when we're nervous, we get flutters in the stomach, butterflies in the stomach. Mm-hmm. So the stomach is somehow connected to brains and emotions and... It has to regulate. I mean, there's hormones that flow when we're in an excited state of,
right.
be it love or fear or anger or whatever, and that flows into all of our different organs. Your heart rate quickens if there's adrenaline or something flowing in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your appetite if you're scared or you're suffering from anxiety or stress.
Right.
So these things are, you know, connected. They are... displaying symptoms of whatever's going on in your body hormonally mm-hmm. at the time. And how do you make a hormone, right? You kick her in the guts. So
forgive him, Lord. He doesn't know what he says.
Oh, I knew. But don't do it.
Don't do
Never,
it.
Never, ever
yes,
kick a prostitute in the guts because
right. That's
the pimp
sin.
Will come after you
yeah,
if
it's
you
not
do
a
that.
Sin to you say know. It or think yeah. it, but it's a sin to do
you
it.
Tell,
yes.
You tell the pimp if you're unhappy
oh,
and he...
yeah.
We'll kick her in the guts. That's the chain of command.
And to be honest, he kind of likes doing it. So let the man have it.
And she kind of likes it.
Oh,
you know, she,
a good
you know,
kick
she's
from
got
a boss. Yeah.
Yeah. But, fucked up Stockholm syndrome kind of thing.
But going back to what you were saying just a second ago, I think it's important to remember that the ancient Greeks and obviously even up to Leo's time, the... In some instances, the best that they can do is observational science or observational research, whatever you want to call it. So the Greeks are looking at, you know, some kind of physical stimuli. They're assuming based on what they see that there's a signal or whatever goes to the brain, the body reacts, or the senso commune, however you say that, acts. It sends another message out to another muscle and it reacts. So even though they've got it wrong, they're pretty close. They've got a good idea of what they're looking for. But again, you have to be impressed, because this is just them watching other people and watching things in nature for decades or whatever. And they're coming up with these ideas. So again, not accurate, but not bad either.
And the reason I mention all of this is, yeah, as I said, between Plato and Leonardo, people had believed that the soul resided in the heart.
Right.
But in the 15th century, Leonardo wrote, the soul seems to reside in the judgment, and the judgment would seem to be seated in that part where all the senses meet, and this is called the senso commune, and he located it in the brain. And that's a view that didn't become commonplace until the time of Descartes in the 17th century, a couple of hundred years later.
Right.
So again, Leonardo way ahead of his time, and yes, probably partly because he's cut open enough hearts.
And he's broken a few. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's dissected enough bodies that he's gone, well, it makes more sense to me that if there's going to be a soul, a right, seat of judgment, that it's going to be in the brain, not in the heart. So in a series of drawings he did, he tried to show how visual observations come in through the eye, get processed, and then get sent to the senso commune,
right,
where the mind can act on them. And the brain signals from that, he figured, mm-hmm, are transported through the nervous system to the muscles.
Yeah. Again, not bad. And he's, like you said, he's probably cut open plenty of chests and plenty of skulls. And so I'm sure the brain and everything around it looks a lot more complicated in some ways than the heart. And so he's probably thinking, yeah, I think it has to do more with whatever's going on. It's up here and it's not down here in the torso or chest. So.
Mm. Yeah. In his brain drawings, though, the only sense that has its own ventricle is the sense of sight. The other senses just, whatever, who cares? Which tells us a lot about how he saw the world. Sight, visual, the visual sense had primacy in his view, which is why when I do my drawings of the brain, it's mostly just the sex ventricle.
Right.
The oral sex, particularly ventricle, a lot of pussy eating, big pussy eating ventricle right there.
Right.
And everything else.
Look, everything else can wait, to be honest.
Do you know, I've never told you this, no, but do you know how I relax?
I'm afraid to. Go ahead.
You know, like when I need to, you know, de-stress.
Yeah, we all do.
I draw on my iPad. I don't know if you can see that, but these are the pictures that I draw.
A little more to the side. Oh, yes, I can. I can see it. You say relaxing. I say stimulating. But
so, you know, that one.
If you could just hold it there for another 15 seconds, that's pretty much. You know what? I'll just take a picture.
So this you're is good my at most that. Recent one. I did this like a day or so ago.
That's pretty good.
For people who aren't on our live Skype
and
call,
you're missing out.
These are all pussy pictures.
That's the one I recognize.
Yeah, you like that one? Yeah. some of them are a little bit more like
imaginary,
neon,
right?
Holy,
right? All right, but still.
This is. I'm gonna put these all up in a gallery at some point.
I'm fucking there.
You know,
I am fucking there. I will take tickets.
Well, there
at
will
the
be
door.
A lot of fucking there. We will. That's the whole idea of it.
It's a yeah, but sex.
Drawing pictures of Chrissy's vagina, pussy, is just my. That's my pastime. That's what I do for fun. Just
I'm gonna try that, and I'll let you know how it goes. So we'll see.
You draw pictures of Chrissy's pussy.
depends on how open. Anyway, I might have to try Heather, but that's fine. I've always got Finn. Go ahead.
Is Finn a female?
Could be for about $50. Anyway.
Yes. In one drawing from this period, Leonardo shows the bones and nerves. Oh, by the way, if people want copies of my pictures, they'll be available on my website. You can buy them. He shows the bones and the nerves of an arm with the spinal cord and the nerves coming out of it. And then He has a note talking about the pithing of a frog. Have you ever pithed? I know you've pithed on a frog.
Right.
But have you ever pithed a frog before, Ray?
I did. Against my will, I was trying to look all tough for, I think her name was Susie or Suzanne. Didn't work out. Cutting a frog because of Leonardo. We all have to fucking cut frogs open in high school. Did y'all do it?
Everyone else did. I refused. Refused to do it. I refused to cut open rats and baby rats. And I also refused to... We were supposed to pin... like moths and insects right. onto a pin board. I refused to do that. In high school, I was like, this is inhumane. I'm not participating in any of this. I'm not cutting open animals or killing animals to learn. So just, I'll read about it in a book.
Yeah.
I don't see why I need to do this.
I believe
this is
you.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't need to cut it open. Just show me pictures.
Just show me pictures in a book. Yeah. I don't need to do this. Got away with it too. I think mostly, probably I was just lazy and didn't want to do it. I don't think I had any real sense of moral outrage at it. I think I was just like,
You were pulling a Leonardo. Just too lazy.
Too lazy.
Did y'all cut up a baby pig after that? We had to do there's a proper term, but I don't. You probably don't remember.
Yeah. I think we dissected baby rats. I don't think they were pigs. Yeah. Leonardo wrote, the frog dies instantly when its spinal cord is perforated, and previously it lived without head, without heart, or any interior organs or intestines or skin. Here, therefore, it appears, lies the foundation of movement and life. Now, I'm not really sure it was living without a head, a heart, any interior organs, intestines, or skin. I'm not buying that.
Right. If I had to guess, and I'm thinking, like, if it doesn't have a spine, it literally can't move. And so maybe there was some minimal movement when it had the spine and didn't have other parts. Because obviously we know that the nerves travel down the spine and go out from there. But again, he's trying these different things. And even though he's thinking it might be in the head, he's open to it being somewhere else. Because for him, this is not about ego. This is about finding out what the truth is. We first thought it was the heart. Maybe it's the head. Maybe the spine's connected. And so he's literally doing his research.
So he's keeping it alive, I assume, pinning it down to a board.
Right.
And then opening it up, removing the heart and the intestines and the interior organs and seeing if it still twitches.
It's a Dexter phase.
Then he goes, well, frog's one thing. Let's step it up a notch. Then he repeated it on a dog.
Yeah.
This, by the way, is how psychopaths also come into the world. They start torturing insects and frogs. Then they move up to cats and dogs, neighborhood cats and dogs. You start finding neighborhood cats are missing and dogs are missing.
Right.
You know you got a 14-year-old psychopath, probably a boy, somewhere in the neighborhood.
Or a Chinese restaurant near you with no scruples. I don't know. I'm not judging. Oh,
did you watch The Shield?
The Shield. No, I missed 99% of that.
Oh, you got to watch The Shield, man. One of the great...
Right.
One of the great shows. But there's this cop in it. Chiklis is great.
Go ahead.
Everyone's great. What's his face who plays Shane? He's gone on to make a billion things since then. But there's this cop in it, Dutch. He's sort of like one of the moral centers of the show. He's one of the good cops who's always, trying to call out the bad cops.
He's like
but
a Ray.
At one point he...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. At one point he's a bit like a Mulder. He's sort of an expert on doing the psychology of serial killers and that kind of stuff. And he kind of figures out he needs to know what it likes to kill something.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts getting cats and killing, wringing the necks of cats get into the headspace of what it feels like to kill something.
Oh,
it's kind of very, very fucking dark.
Yeah.
Good show. Oh, did I tell you? Have I spoken to you? We went to see The Many Saints of Newark last week.
Yes, and you liked it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay. All right. Standalone. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, standalone, yeah. So he starts doing the experiments on a dog. Yeah.
Not cool.
Whose dog? We don't really know. Probably lots of dogs stray, running around Florence at the time. Yeah. Yeah, stray dogs.
Yeah.
Now, the drawings that he did of the nerves and the spinal cord are clearly labeled, and it wasn't until the 1700s when these things would be repeated by other scientists, where they would be labeled and illustrated correctly. So, again, Leonardo is 200s, maybe 250 years ahead of everybody else with this stuff.
And he doesn't care about publishing. It's not like he's rushing out to clean up his notes to take it to a publisher or a book press and get it out there and sell it. No, he's just, okay, I figured this out. I'll move on to the next notebook and I'll just carry these around with me. Again, this is truly knowledge for knowledge's sake.
Yeah. But in the mid-1490s, he stopped his work on anatomy, didn't go back to it for 10 years.
Wow.
He got distracted with doing some other things. You know, Leonardo, he goes, oh, Painting of the Last Supper, that's something else I won't finish. Sure, I'll get started. I'll
start the hell out of it. Yeah.
I'm great at starting things. Yeah, you know. But, you know, this whole senso commune thing obviously wasn't right. There is no soul, by the way. This might be a newsflash for some of you out there, but there is no such thing as the soul.
Right.
So, you know, drop that. Forget about that. Mm-hmm. By the way, also no such thing as free will. When you're throwing out the soul and the God thing, throw out the free will thing as well. Just
better off.
Another thing that just has no evidence to support it, so just give up. But he was right, obviously, in his view that the human brain receives the visual stimuli, process them into perceptions, the other sensory stimuli as well, and then transmits that information through to the nervous system and the muscles. So he was right, and again, way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And he was able to take this information and use it to inform his paintings. How does this process create emotions and how do we draw those and paint those? So he wrote, in painting, the actions of the figures are in all cases expressive of the purpose of their minds. I mean, we go, duh, yeah, we know that, you know, but this is a big deal in the history of painting, thinking about not only the bones and the muscles, but the nervous system, what's going on, and how to depict that, how to reflect that in his paintings. Of course, he didn't know that, you know, somebody would invent the camera a couple of hundred years later. He thought, well, this is it, right? We have to get good at this. Yeah. If we're going to depict range of the human condition,
right,
which again is what the Renaissance is all about, figuring out the human condition, we need to understand these things. Let's not fuck around. Let's get down into the weeds, kids.
Yeah. It's got to be done sometimes. Yeah. So in his paintings, he's basically thinking the emotions inside the person is probably going to be shown on their face and the actions of their body. And that's going to allow him to do a lot more intense movement or more intense paintings, because he's bringing the all of whatever that person's feeling into the painting. So yeah, it is going to be a lot more intense.
And it's all got to be connected.
Exactly.
You know, like what you're doing with your limbs and your face. It all has to be cohesive.
Yeah.
Just to finish up his studies on anatomy, based on the work that he was doing on the Vitruvian man, he became obsessed with measuring every aspect of the human body, Ray.
Right, yeah. But he's also studying, we were talking this earlier about studying horses for Sforza's horse, and so he's going to start looking at the human...
Sforza's horse.
He's going to start looking at the proportions of the human body, because of Vitruvius, he's going to look at the proportions because of the horse... statue that he's got. So this is going to become his next obsession. And because this is Leo, he is going to do it to the nth degree.
A horse is a horse. A horse is a horse, of course.
It's Schwartz's horse, you know.
So he got he had at least we know a dozen young men.
Oh, good times.
To come behind him.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
And he measured each body part from head to toe.
Licked it, measured
produced
it.
More than 40 drawings and 6,000 words. Quite unusual, though, was the way that he measured them. Sometimes he would just use a ruler or a tape. Sometimes a compass.
Scientific.
Sometimes his mouth. When it came to the penis, he would go, listen, the best way I've learned to measure this is my butthole and my mouth. So...
That's science.
I'd say that's about yeah. average. That's all I'm going to say.
You want consistency. And I know I can handle a 6-inch penis in my mouth. And you, sir, clearly are 7 inches because we're done here. Okay? Thank you very much. But you're right. He writes all this down and he's able to. But again, he's literally figuring out in detail the various proportions of humans and how that changes when they move, because you know it's going back into his artwork.
He wrote, the space between the mouth and the base of the nose is 1/7 of the face.
Sure.
The space from the mouth to the bottom of the chin is 1/4 of the face and equal to the width of the mouth.
Right.
The space of the chin from the base of the nose is 1/3 of the face and equal to the length of the nose and to the forehead.
Jesus.
So he did all these insane measurements, obviously with lots of detailed drawings and diagrams.
Right.
Which... is basically taking the Vitruvian Man and just, you know, going even deeper into what these dimensions and the relationship between the dimensions are. 51 sections in his notebooks are filled with details of these measurements.
Wow.
The distance from the top of the nose to the bottom of the chin is 2/3 of the face. The width of the face is equal to the space between the mouth and the roots of the hair and is 1/12 of the whole height. From the top of the ear to the top of the head is equal to the distance from the bottom of the chin to the duct of the eye and also equal to the distance from the angle of the chin to that of the jaw. Mm. The hollow of the cheekbone occurs halfway between the tip of the nose and the top of the jawbone. The great toe is the 6th part of the foot, taking the measure in profile. From the joint of one shoulder to the other is the length of 2 faces. And my favorite, from the navel to the genitals is a face's length. How did you work that out, Leonardo? Well,
I had to do it 12 times for consistency's sake. And
yeah.
Best day. Yeah. Dear diary.
Yeah.
Best day ever. Sorry. It's for science. Now, hold still. And don't get hard because you keep bumping against my chin. I'm trying to do a job here. Okay? And focus.
Hey, and I'm claiming this back on tap.
That's right.
Because this is work related.
It is. Yes.
He also wanted to record what happens when each of the parts moves, particularly the testicles, of course. But he wrote, what happens to the relative shape of each human feature when a joint moves or a person twists? Observe how the position of the shoulder changes when the arm moves up and down, inwards and outwards, to the back and to the front, and also in circular movements and any others. And do the same with the reference to the neck, hands, feet, and breast.
Literally, every detail, every body part, every movement, every direction. That's incredible.
Got to imagine him, like, in his studio, surrounded by a stable of young men. He's going, all right, squat down over my face. you know, lie down, sit up.
Yeah.
You know, move, turn.
Yeah.
Measuring, measuring.
Work it, work it.
Yeah. Give it to me.
Can we put some music on? Some Diana Ross, some Cher? I don't know. Give it to me. Come on.
When the arm is bent, the fleshy part shrinks to 2/3 of its length. When a man kneels down, he will diminish by the 4th part of his height. If a man was born and lived the first few months of his life in a bubble, he will have self-esteem issues for the rest of his life and, you know, will have to get humiliated during sex in order to be able to come. When a heel is raised, the tendon and ankle get closer to each other by a finger's breadth, And your favorite, when a man sits down, the distance from his seat to the top part of his head will be half of his height plus the thickness and length of his testicles.
When I said earlier that Leonardo was devoted to science, I wasn't fucking around. He's not fucking around. He's whipping out the ruler and he's bringing in the thickness and the length of the testicles. What Leo doesn't know is there's a huge difference between those when you're 20 and when you're 50. Because when you're 50 and you're sitting in the hot tub, your balls are actually floating up on the surface because the scrotum is stretched out. Anyway, you know, the point is, I don't know if this is science or not, but this is what this guy did for a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. The length of the testicles is from the bottom of my throat up to the tip of my nose.
Is he now a testicologist? I don't even know how to say it. A ballologist? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, like, but getting back to being serious for a second. Yes. Like, yeah, look, partly all of this must help his art.
Yes.
But it's much more than that. As you said earlier, he wants to know everything about the human condition, how humans work, how they fit into the cosmos. And in his notebook, he proclaimed that his intention was to work out what he called universale misura dell'uomo, the universal measure of man.
Oh.
So everything. He wants to understand everything about how humans work, what they're built of, where they fit into things. It's not about art. Art is just, you know, as we've always said, a side gig for Leonardo.
At best.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. He just wants to, he wants to understand everything. He's insanely curious and needs to understand how everything works.
Yeah.
And with that, we got to go. I got a kung fu class to get to. I'll just leave everybody with this.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me. Come, come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
Come, come, come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
Come, come, come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
Come.
I need a stable of young men to come behind me.
Come, 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 come.
Dun, 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 dun.
Aww.
Come. The anus is now closed.
Taken out of context.